Morning again. So we're going to look at this passage together on this Pentecost morning. And at Pentecost, we mark the time when the church entered into the phase of history that we are still in. I don't know if you've ever thought about it like that, but we are in that between stage in the history of the universe. It is a momentous part of history that we're alive in. The first disciples, all the saints that have lived between them and us, everyone who meets in the name of Jesus today around the world, we are all living in that precious time when God's kingdom has arrived, but it is not yet fully come in. Prophets pointed towards its coming for hundreds of years, and when it came, most missed it. The baby born to refugees grew into Jesus, the storyteller and healer, who never actually left his own country, never wrote a book, died a shameful death, and then, according to friend and foe alike, rose from the dead. This Jesus told his listeners that the kingdom was here. The day of salvation, the good news for the poor, the sight for the blind, the freedom for the oppressed had arrived. It was just that it had arrived a lot more quietly than people were expecting. It seemed as though this wasn't the full kingdom, just a tantalizing trailer to get everybody excited. And then Pentecost. Suddenly, the kingdom was a bit noisier, a bit more courageous, and definitely more contagious. Thousands came to faith in Jesus on one day in Jerusalem. And no matter who tried to stamp it out and who continues to try to stamp it out, the Church of Jesus Christ has just kept on bringing in the kingdom ever since. And so here we are, Christians gathered in the name of that same Jesus, the Holy Spirit, a reality in our lives, wanting to bring in God's kingdom, desperately wanting to make a difference. 4 days away from a general election in our land, the morning after yet another terrorist atrocity, at what seems like a critical point in our national life, and yet we are just where the disciples were. Lord, teach us to pray. How can we expect to see God's kingdom, let alone usher it in, when we struggle so much with even knowing how to pray? Well, we are in good company. I had a good book lent to me this week by Elmer, and I've only read a small bit of it so far, but there was a great quote in it. And this was from Mary Flannery O'Connor, who apparently is a very famous American writer. I'd never heard of her, but she's got some good stuff to say, so I might start looking her up more often. But she says this about prayer. She said, "Dear God, I cannot love thee the way I want to. You are the slim crescent of a moon that I can see, and myself is the earth's shadow that keeps me from seeing all the moon. What I'm afraid of, dear God, is that my self-shadow will grow so large that it blocks the whole moon, and that I will judge myself by the shadow that is nothing. I do not know you, God, because I am in the way." I think if we're honest with ourselves, that is exactly our problem with prayer, isn't it? We do not know God as we could because we ourselves get in the way. Not surprisingly, Jesus seems to know this about us. It's uncanny how much he knows about how we tick, isn't it? And we can just imagine him, can't we, getting back from his nourishing time in prayer with the Father, perhaps the only human being who never got in the way of his own view of God, to the puzzled and depressed faces of his friends. Men just like us who were probably wondering how Jesus had just spent all that time in prayer without resorting to shopping and to-do lists. And so Jesus teaches them and us how to pray. He begins with a personal start. Our Father is a very familiar and informal start, and not the way that most Jews would have been encouraged to pray. But then he reminds us that God, our Father, is very different from us. He is holy, and we very definitely aren't. And then there it is, the kingdom again. Even Jesus, who came proclaiming the kingdom of God had arrived, tells his friends to pray for God's kingdom to come. Jesus knows that for the time being, his friends and us will be caught in that halfway place in between the arrival and the full coming of the kingdom. He knows that we will still need help to see it coming and to be the ones that usher it in. This won't be a spectator sport. We are supposed to be part of the kingdom coming in through our prayer life. Well, I have, and I hope many of you have found, the prayer prompts coming through on Facebook this week really, really helpful from the Thy Kingdom Come movement. It's been really good to focus our prayers on bringing in God's kingdom and our role in that. And that whole initiative set up by the Archbishop of Canterbury is based on the belief that God's kingdom is reliant in some small way on us praying for it. I wonder if you've ever really thought about that. I sometimes think that I think God is all powerful and it's up to him to bring in his kingdom. And yet, in his graciousness, he's included us in the scenario and he is reliant on us, praying in his kingdom. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? That the kingdom of God, breaking into our society here and now, is as a response to our prayers to the Father. God has chosen to work with us to bring in his kingdom. And the part we play starts with that prayer that Jesus taught us. Thy kingdom come. Now, fortunately, Jesus also knows what it is to be human. And so the next lines in his model prayer are allowing us to ask for the things that we need. He knows that if we are hungry or cold or lacking in shelter, we are very unlikely to be able to concentrate on anything, let alone the kingdom of God coming in. Those of you that have done psychology will know that Maslow came to that conclusion thousands of years later, but Jesus knew it there and then. Don't you find that incredibly gracious? That even in this moment, Jesus is teaching us that it is okay, in fact, more than okay, to ask God for the things that we need. Of course, partway into his teaching, probably whilst looking at his friends' bemused faces, it's one of those things I really wish there was a bit of telly to go with the Bible. You know, when Jesus is explaining things, I would have loved to have seen those disciples' faces looking completely. Because that's often how we feel, isn't it? But Jesus does what he always does. When he wants to make something clear, he starts to tell a story. And his little tale of the imposing friends, one who arrives after the shops have shut, most inconveniently, and the other who doesn't mind waking up his neighbours, are there to make us feel okay asking God for things in a bit of a panic. How well he knows us. And he goes further even by pointing out that if even we who are sinful delight in giving our children the things they need, how much more will God delight in giving us the things that we need? But notice what is top of Jesus' desirable list of things that we need and can ask for. The Holy Spirit. Our need of the Holy Spirit brings us round full circle to the beginning. Only with more of the Spirit of Jesus can we live less in our own shadow and see more of God. And when we see more of God, we find that we see more of his kingdom coming in. And when we see his kingdom coming in, we realize that our role in that great awakening is so important, and we find it more compelling than ever to spend more time on our knees. And when we spend more time on our knees, our Heavenly Father just loves to give us what we ask for. It's a beautiful circle, isn't it? But it's one that's so easy to step out of completely. And when we do, we end up like Mary Flannery O'Connor, not able to even see God because of our own shadow. But the good news is that it is also easy to step back in to this beautiful circle. Jesus invites us to step back in one small step at a time. He doesn't expect us to become heroic prayer warriors overnight. He just wants to answer our deepest needs, to give us more of his Spirit and show us the cracks in the darkness where his kingdom is coming in. The book of Esther, a cracking tale of beauty contests and murder. Esther's uncle urges Esther that she has been made queen by God in response to the national calamity coming to her people. He says to her in his motivational speech to his niece, "Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for such a time as this." For such a time as this. A world plagued by terror, war, and inequality. We have come to royal dignity. For such a time as this, we are called to pray, "Thy kingdom come," and be part of his kingdom coming in. For such a time as this, we need that, don't we? For such a time as this, we need his kingdom to come. And we need to be people who are looking for it and seeing it and praying it in. It's our prayer this week and always, that we, the people of God at Croxley Green Baptist Church, will be people who pray in his kingdom. And in praying in his kingdom, become part of the action that brings it in. That's the exciting royal dignity that each one of us are called to for such a time as this.